Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that can get that spot out of the carpet. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
The Scope talks life-changing songs. We'll give a listen to the latest from The Strokes, and a government shutdown is averted with Congress agreeing to cut federal funding of this show.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, everybody. Episode 106 of your Scope program. Now,
did you intentionally put a pause there for the applause?
I don't know. I was
just thinking, you know what? I wonder how many shows I've done the applause in that moment.
It's a rhythm thing.
It's got to be like 100 out of 106.
It's a rhythm method. I don't know. Are we back from a three-week hiatus?
Yeah, 3 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure.
Because you were on vacation.
I was on vacation last
week. I traveled.
I mean... When people think of spring break, Adam, there's only one place that they think of. That would be St. Louis, Missouri.
The ruins of Machu Picchu.
Yes. That's where I went on my spring break to visit some friends of ours. Jared looking confounded and confused.
I just get this periodic buzz in my system, and I have yet to diagnose it, and it appeared briefly, and then it just went away. So I do what I can to mitigate it as it happens, but as you know, we do this live.
Pepto-Bismol. That takes care of that right away. So I went to St. Louis, Missouri. Have you ever been there, Adam?
I've driven through it, and I've been in the airport. I think that's it, though.
I hear that it's a pretty rough town.
I think I may have flown over it. I flew to Dallas.
I know.
I was, you know, vertically speaking, in the area, probably.
But East St. Louis is a rough town.
Yeah.
That's like our North Minneapolis.
I didn't see any of the rough town. The friends that we went to visit, Mike's one of them. He's been on the show a couple of times, I think.
He played drunken guitar solos during one of our New Year's Eve shows.
Yeah, one of the shows that Adam couldn't bother to show up. Mike moved down there for a great opportunity job. He's got a very specialized type of career, so it's one of those things where you go where the job is.
Porn.
It is all about porn.
Shortage of coxmen in the St. Louis area, apparently.
not a lot of coxmen. So Mike moved right in.
He is a level 2 coxman. I think you should. A senior coxman associate.
Yeah, well, like you said, you got to go where the work is.
No. I don't even know where to go with that, you know? It's a lot of good, like, union groups down there for the coxmen, where they get together.
For now, until the governor abolishes union rights for coxmen.
I think coxmen need to have unions, because if they don't, who's going to protect them?
Right, and they're coxmen,
honestly. They need retirement plans, don't they?
I think they do. Yeah, that's funny. I don't really have a lot to share about what went down there, because it was mostly hanging out with friends and... watching some movies, going to the Arch, which we did. We sort of had to lie to my kid because she wanted to go up in the Arch, and nobody really wanted to do that. So we told her that it was a really long wait, and she was happy with the replacement gift, which was getting one of those pennies and putting it in one of those machines, and you crank it. And then just like a little picture of the Arch on there, so she liked that.
Wow.
But I have a sort of a funny story to tell, or maybe it's not funny. Speaking of coxmen, so we're down there, and Mike was telling me that there are a lot of places to eat out in St. Louis. I don't know if this is common on the East Coast or
St. Louis is not on the East Coast.
Or I'm doing this for you, Adam, because you travel that way.
The restaurant is a Midwest adventure.
as you go further,
they have food.
As you go further east, maybe there's more restaurants. But in Minnesota, you have a fair amount of places to go. And try.
So many that they actually created a grid of streets in order to facilitate your transportation.
Yes, they actually pave road, dirt top to get you to these.
I got to tell you, you're losing me on this. I've never been to a place that was lacking in eateries.
Let me get to this.
Okay.
So we get to St. Louis and
are you saying our jokes are not welcome?
I don't know.
Continue.
I'm trying to find the rhythm here, guys. It's too much talk about cocks.
Do they call St. Louis style ribs St. Louis style there, or do they just call them ribs?
They're called homestyle ribs.
Homestyle.
Okay. That's what they are. They're deliciously homestyle.
This place ribs.
Yes.
Well, you guys are on fire, aren't you?
Hey,
you
got it's your whole 3 weeks. Show. But 3 weeks.
I'm just going to go upstairs and let you guys continue the St. Louis rib conversation.
I've been on the brink for a week now.
So, I don't know what they call them, but we were driving through the suburbs of St. Louis, and I'm not kidding you when I say they have at least double the amount of restaurants there. They have every single chain you can think of. They have local chains.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
They have Chick-fil-A there?
Oh, sure. They have Chick-fil-A. Good. You name it, they have.
In-N-Out Burger? That's all I care
about. Sonic?
Yes, absolutely.
They don't have In-N-Out Burger there.
I don't believe they have In-N-Out. That's more of
premise
a
busted.
West Coast,
moving on.
Right? Yeah. But, I mean, we have Arby's here. They've got, like, two or three different roast beef places.
Wow.
And here's a little known fact. Panera does not exist in St. Louis.
Right. Why would people want to have fake
healthy food? It's called the St. Louis Bread Company.
Yeah.
Because Panera was created in St. Louis.
Wow.
And they said to themselves, people aren't going to want to go to a restaurant in Chicago called the St. Louis Bread Factory. So they changed it to Panera every other place.
All right.
True story.
Cool.
Wow. So, I mean, that was worth the journey, Shane.
That really was.
They should actually just call it like the local, like, you know, here it should be called the St. Paul Bread Company.
Exactly. They should change it for every location.
They should rename it to Our Food Isn't As Healthy As You Would Think.
Right.
Panera, very bad for you, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Some of it is. I mean, obviously, any restaurant you go to, you got to be wary. The stuff that is very tasty and delicious is often, you know, loaded with fat and sugar.
MSGs and mercury and whatever they put into
irradiated that. Irradiated beef from Japan.
17 MSGs.
But it gives it such a good flavor, Jared.
Well,
the glow
it is
gives
the
you risky. The taste.
It's like that puffer fish or whatever you eat. It's all in how you prepare it.
Hey, the lady on Fox News told me that it's actually going to make people healthier. Ann Coulter said that. That's right.
The lady. First of all, I think that's you're on thin ice.
The lady.
The horse on Fox News told me.
Mr. Ed's sister, she was licking the sugar cube, said radiated meat will be good for you.
All right. We got to get some sports and Oscars talking, and then we'll be all set.
So Mike, new to the area, decided he was going to take his wife on a date.
Oh,
who is
with you all, or this happened?
No. This is when they first got there. Down there. So they're driving around, and they see this place called.
Does she know he's a level two coxman?
She absolutely does. Why do you think she married him?
Okay,
so they go to this. They're driving around.
Saying, why is he going through the pretense of a date
when exactly.
Obviously the skills have been demonstrated?
He's just trying to get into the panties. So if you don't know Mike, and you have listened to the show, so you do know a little bit about him, he likes to drink. He likes a good beer every once in a while. And so they were driving around, and they found this place. It was called the Brick House, which from the outside, I guess, looked sort of, you know, like a fun, not a fun, but a tavern that might have some high-end food and you know.
Maybe a tasty microbrew, perhaps?
Sure, absolutely.
And, okay. St. Louis, home of,
I'm getting a little static,
Shane,
here.
What are you doing?
Nothing. I just touched my cord here.
Okay. That's the master cord. Jiggle it. You gotta jiggle it.
Just
so you get a clean
bit?
Signal. Not that one.
This one?
Nope, the other one.
This one?
Yeah.
There we go.
You got it?
This is good. Right. This is good. What was that about us hitting all the sweet spots in a good podcast?
You gotta jiggle it.
By the way.
Anheuser-Busch based.
Oh, yeah. By the way, beer is everywhere in St. Louis. You go to the grocery
store. Beer and Jesus.
You go to the grocery store. The grocery store has a full bar in there, pretty much.
Shane, they've got so much of it. They need to have every outlet of sale available at all times.
If you go to Target, they have beer. You can buy it anytime.
Okay, but for what it's worth, we are one of the few states that does not allow grocery
stores. So what we're saying is, like, we could be the jerk-offs, and everybody else is awesome, is what you're saying.
Well, no, because most of the states in Kentucky, or counties in Kentucky, are dry.
Well, you know, we went to Target there, and we bought a bottle of wine when we were there, and after we bought it, or... that she rung it through, she asked for our license, and we're like, what's going on? Is there a problem? And then we realized that, you know, they need to check our ID. And we told the girl that was checking us out, she's like 17 years old, you know, we're in Minnesota, you know, we can't buy booze on Sundays, and we certainly couldn't get it at Target. And she literally looked at us like an arm had just sprouted out of our head. You cannot buy beer on Sunday? What is wrong with you guys? Like, hey, you're telling me, you're speaking to the choir here, preaching to the choir. But anyway, back to the
legislation pending.
It's coming. It's coming, Jared. We are going to be able to be drunk every day of the week.
Or we could just plan better, as Charlie Sheen would say.
Go figure. So the Brick House, it's this bar, bar grill, I would say like a high-end Houlihan's or something like that. That's what Mike thought it was going to be. So
Yep.
He scouted it out and decided this is where I'm going to take my wife.
So the exterior looks promising.
It looks, I mean, it's sort of rustic, I mean, bricks. I mean,
sure.
there are bricks. The logo is sort of a medieval type of thing. You know,
you
think like a German brew, that sort of thing. If you see those long.
He's not using Yelp, I assume, in helping.
Yelp?
Yeah.
Mike does not use Yelp.
All right.
You kidding me?
Sorry.
He's a businessman. He doesn't use Yelp. He's a coxman. Coxmen don't use Yelp.
No, they just know.
They make girls Yelp.
I thought Yelp.
That's where I was going with that.
I thought Yelp.
That's a time for a rim shot right there, Jared.
Oh. Coxmen fuck their way to answers.
Wow.
Oh, that's time for crickets.
Got aggressive.
He really did. He sort of lost the concept of subtlety in that joke. So, yes, this is a place where Mike is going to take his wife for a delicious microbrew and then possibly a drink to get laid later. I don't know. And delicious food.
Okay, they've been married for years. There's no getting laid
it's
later.
It's over for them, you know.
They're going to settle in with some World of Warcraft or whatever PC game they're
playing.
Dragon
Age 2.
They love
their PC games.
Some Dragon Age 2.
So everything turned out fine.
So,
okay.
So all right, good story over. Delicious. So they get it. They go in there, and immediately as they when they open the door, they know something's amiss. Brickhouse wasn't really a reference to the, you know, medieval type of house or something like this.
Uh-oh.
It's more of a reference to the ladies that work there.
Oh, yeah.
So you go in and...
Oh, she is a brick house.
She is a brick house. So Mike goes in with Sarah and...
It's going to be tight,
immediately
y'all.
He's greeted by girls in Hooters-like outfits. Very tight black... a black garb all the way from head to toe.
That's triple tight, folks.
You know, it's sort of like the really tight shirts, sort of tied off.
The clothes are actually on the inside of her skin. It's so tight.
That would be absolutely disgusting. Very lumpy, cellulite type of look there.
Gross.
So, yeah, so they go in, and Mike is very happy. He's very happy how it turned out. Sarah, not so much. Very buxom, not booksome, because that would be gross.
If you're buxom and booksom, oh, look out.
Yeah.
Nerd is, heaven.
Is booksom mean you have flapjacks that look like Rolling Stone magazines? Or
I just think you're into books.
They sort of store the books in between the bosoms.
Thinking more of a sexy librarian thing, Shane.
No sexy librarian there. These girls
could not read.
They could not read.
No.
And the thing that sort of differentiates them or makes them look medieval, I guess, is that they all have to have very thick belts.
Can we go back to why you keep saying medieval?
I don't know. I just like to say medieval. Like, I feel like I'm...
Because all I'm hearing is a MIDI keyboard with an evil overtone.
I kind of picture
it.
Like Mr. Bean saying
there's one
that.
Behind if you there Bean if you want to tinkle the keys the other way.
Yeah.
Tinkle the keys. That's what I do with buxom. So they get there, and the other thing that really excited Mike, being the beer drinker, is they have something there called the beer bong. Which it's not a beer bong in terms of the collegiate.
Okay. No, this is an Australian thing named after billabong, right? Yeah.
It's an actual bong looking thing that's probably about 3 feet tall, and you know,
right.
Yay big. I'm making a circle with my hands.
Yeah, right.
And what they do is they fill it up with your favorite brew, and they just plop it on your table, and then you've got a little spigot there, and you can just drink away.
Now the yay corresponds to about 4.5 inches, right? So when you say yay big,
let's say 4.5.
Okay.
And you also you can also get like those, what are those little mini keglets?
Right.
They're like little kegs that they deliver them right to your table.
So you've got an aluminum vessel on your table.
An aluminum, that's a perfect way of putting
with
it.
With a tap on it.
This sounds a great place.
It does. That's exactly it. So anyway, Mike and Sarah.
This sounds like a place with great insurance.
Mike and Sarah had their date. And
giant glass bongs at every table.
Kegs, personal kegs for everyone. I'm thinking there's an EMT on retainer.
Sarah's not happy about the date, but she lets it go. I mean, there's only 5,000 other restaurants they can go to. And I think after
why? Because the girls with the titties hanging out?
I go figure. She wasn't excited about that.
Whatever.
So what Mike did is he took her to a movie afterwards at the Mega 18.
And it was a porn.
Theater.
It was a porn.
Not porn. But
Sucker Punch, right?
No. but with your large popcorn combo, you can either get a
hole in the bottom.
A super large soda pop.
Right.
Or a
mini kegger.
A super large freezy, which I'm assuming would be like cherry, perhaps a Coca-Cola flavor, or blue raspberry is also very popular.
It comes
with
its own freezy valet to carry it for you.
Exactly. Or a 32-ounce beer of your choice. That's standard. That's standard with the popcorn that you get.
Wow. And this is just like your regular mall-based multiplex theater?
Yes.
32-ounce beer.
Could you imagine going to
32-ounce
see...
32-ounce beer. Was that free refills?
How big is that?
That's a big beer.
That's 32 ounces. Think. I don't know,
that's like when my daughter.
Think of the new Taco Bell small size drink. 32 ounces.
Adam's saying, how big is 32 ounces? Is like when my daughter says to me, how long until Phineas and Ferb or SpongeBob's going to be on? Oh, about 5 minutes. How long is that? So do I have to break it down to seconds for her?
Yeah.
I mean, that's more intimidating for a 6-year old. That's a lot of numbers.
Well, I mean, that's the concept of minutes, though.
She struggles with it.
Well, but that makes sense. She's only been alive for however many thousand minutes.
By the
We've
way,
been alive for like millions of minutes.
You could break it into hours, fractional hours.
I could do that. By the way, my daughter thinks that 9:48 a.m. comes after 10 a.m. I'm just going to share that.
It sounds more complicated.
Well, it sounds
like 10 a.m. would evolve into a 9:48. It's like a Pokemon scenario.
And then she also asked me if Tiny Wings Birds is an offshoot of Angry Birds. And she didn't believe me when I said it wasn't. Anyway,
wow.
Brick House.
We're all over the place tonight.
Mike,
it's fun.
Mike and Sarah had their date. And so we get there, and then Mike tells me this story. And so the whole week that I'm there, I'm going, Brick House.
Right.
The whole time. It's,
right. And
it's
you didn't get to go?
A lot of jokes. And by the way, Mike's working 80 hours, so I'm most of the time I'm hanging out with the girls.
All right.
But
were you asked to fill in at all in any of the husband duties?
I am not a St. Louis coxman,
okay.
So not asked. So Mike finally does get a half day off, and we're sort of hanging out, and he says, I think we need to go do something nerdy. And he had mentioned that there was a comic book type hybrid store at the local mall, so he told his wife that. And told my wife that, and they're like, fine, you guys go look at your Star Wars guys or whatever and come back. So we get in the car, and Mike said, we're not going nerdy. We're going to the Brick House, since you seem so excited to go there. I really wasn't that excited to go there,
right.
But I think Mike was really, really excited to go there. So we get there, and we go in, and I am greeted by girls with the biggest boobs I've ever seen in my life. And I've never been to a Hooters, so I don't know if you guys
have. But
you've
walked past
I've been
Hooters.
To a couple. Yeah. It's, you know, chicken wings and short shirts.
Yes.
I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, it really, you know, I guess the story's sort of dying here because it wasn't like, you know, I grabbed one of the Brick House girls and banged her on the table or hit somebody over the head with a beer bong.
Wow.
But it was...
Any violence at all?
Not any violence.
Moving on.
Not any violence. But it was an interesting place because it had really good food.
Yeah. What'd you get?
A bunch of appetizers. You know, got to talk about the menu. They're very subtle on the double entendres. So, for example, the dessert menu is called the Happy Endings menu.
Nice.
Wow.
You know, you can get like the double D cupcakes.
Okay.
Like,
sure. Sure.
And you can look this up on the internet. It's there.
I'm hoping that the menu like has just, it's like, it's actually round. It's just cans.
No.
And there's nipples in the middle.
No, I mean, they do sort of push through the German beer label theme a little bit.
Okay.
But well, I really got to stretch this out because Adam's going to get this whole menu thing going. Can you find it, Adam?
Don't worry about it. You don't have to stretch it out.
No.
This is
we
me.
Are at 17 minutes. Okay.
Already 17 minutes?
Yeah.
This story has been enthralling.
All of you, too.
At any rate, all me. Sometimes it's got to be that way.
Oh, whatever.
So anyway, Brick House was quite an experience. We did have to come home and sheepishly tell the ladies we went to the Brick House.
I was wondering because you're revealing the story here. I wonder if anyone was going to catch on. Although I know they don't listen, so it doesn't matter.
Do you think let's take a
so you fucked a couple whores at the Brick House?
That's really what I did. Yeah, that's part of the Happy Endings menu.
Ah, yes.
You know, you get the double D cupcakes and then a bang on the table for free.
Only 3 stars on
good
Google.
Service. Only 3 stars. That's ludicrous.
What does Yelp say?
Yeah, what does Yelp say?
I don't know.
He does not know. But who knows? Brick House is a chain, and who knows? It may come here.
Brick House, Tavern, and Tap.com.
Are you going there?
Trying.
I know. We couldn't support an extra Hooters in Burnsville, so I'm not sure that we can support a Brick House.
Or at Block E, and I don't even know if the one at the Mall of America is still open.
I believe that is open.
Yeah, right? I think it is. But that's the only one, isn't it? Or there? I don't know if there is any out in the rest of suburbia, but...
Yeah, I don't pay that much attention. Anything, Adam?
It's the internet's being slow today.
Internet's being slow. So anyway, Brick House, check it out. I'll put a link up at the website. You guys can take a look at it.
People can just Google, I'm sure.
Because everybody goes there. But we gotta get people. We need traffic, Jared. Traffic drives in profits.
Dispensing
for us.
Happiness to the common man.
That is their. That's their catchline.
What would you say the ratio of diners now of male to female?
I'm going
to
tell you something. There was a surprising amount of women there.
A lot of women are actually into that.
I don't
they don't
know.
Care.
I don't understand. A lot of women.
I just said that randomly.
And one thing of note about the Brick House, and then we'll move on. Very, very quick in getting your booze out to you.
Yeah.
Very, very, very slow in getting your food out to you.
That's by design.
Yeah. You'd say that's part of their trickery?
Oh, God, yes. They want you to drink more because there's more profit in the booze. And then maybe you'll get a little sauced. Maybe you'll order more food, more than you can eat.
You'll tip
maybe
the ladies
tip really
well
because they're shoving their titties in your face.
Yes.
Those girls at Hooters... Like, they don't last there very long, because apparently it's just, like, they all hate each other, but they get paid really well for, you know,
and
getting ogled at.
They're supposed
so
to be your
shitty.
Friends, like, they sit down with you and talk to you and stuff
Give
like that.
Give you a
that.
Handy a couple times?
Of course.
Yeah.
By the way, one last...
That's a handy wipe, right? Because their fingers get sticky?
Well, I mean, yes, after the
why is Jared not hitting the crickets like every second? The girl that opened the door to let us out as we left had the roundest face I've ever seen in my entire life. She had a giant head, and I mean, it's like Jared's clock. It was that round.
Perfectly round. Like Christina Ricci?
It really was. It was maybe even more than that.
I'd be into it.
You like a good round face, huh?
I don't know. It's weird.
Write that one down. Round face. Uh-oh, drum roll for the round face. So we got a lot of show coming up. I'm not even going to talk to Jared or Adam about what they've done.
Not much has happened, really. It's all been Minecraft.
No, space Jared talking about how he made a Minecraft puppy dog.
I got a third one last night.
He got a third pixelated dog.
Yeah,
I don't even understand anymore. Video. I don't know what happened to video games in the last year, but
they've gone right down the shithole, huh?
Dragon Age 2 and Minecraft, just perfect examples. But I'm sure they're.
Is that good or bad? I'm not sure what you're.
I'm saying bad.
Oh, okay.
Why is Dragon Age 2 so bad?
It's because it's not a strategy game anymore. They turned it into like an action. Anyway,
an action game. That sounds like a game I might like.
I gotta play the first one.
Speaking of action,
yeah,
that's my crazy news segue. We've got a new bit today that we're gonna play. It's called Songs That Have Changed Your Life.
Let's not call it a bit. I think that demeans it.
Okay, so what should we call it?
Segment.
Segment.
Yeah.
You like a segment?
An important emotional segment.
An emotional segment.
At least one of us is gonna cry. I can guarantee you that.
Well, it won't be you. You'll do it in your car.
I don't have emotions.
He actually had his tear ducts removed.
Yeah. Ducts. Elective surgery. You can have that done.
Cut them right out.
Sure. Who needs
so
them?
It's songs that change your life. You know, we've talked about great songs and terrible songs, but I think this one goes right to the heart, Jared. Goes right to the heart.
I don't know about that, but...
Jared also teased in the front end of the show that we'll be reviewing the new album by The Scope. The Scope by
yes,
The Scope.
We have a new album,
everybody.
Yes.
What do you think, Adam? What would that do?
Jared's been really busy because I know that I didn't do anything and you don't have any musical talent.
How dare you, sir?
Wow.
How dare you, sir? I've been practicing my rapping skills.
I just recorded Shane subtly while he was performing Rock Band songs and then I've just cut and pasted the song.
I can't wait.
Vocal lines together.
So it'll be all Oasis and Foo Fighters is what you're telling me.
It'll be a little alternating screaming and lovely harmony.
I love it. So we will be reviewing the new album from The Strokes, the long-awaited, long-delayed... I think this is their fourth outing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Fourth major release. So that'll be very exciting. And then, of course, we've got news and coming soon and all that jazz. So, you know, 106 is shaping up to be a great show. Why don't we take just a quick break, Jared?
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and get right to it.
Okay.
Right after this.
Once again, it's time for another edition of the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is... Pink Oboe. That was the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show.
We are back. We are back. This is the Scope 106.
We're back.
I'm just thinking, Jared, I really need to learn how to tell better stories.
I feel like I have the same issue.
It's like I had this great premise and then it went nowhere.
No, here's what I've learned. Lie. It really works. People don't know.
I need to
no
lie.
No one's gonna call you on it. Or if they do, then you call them a commie and you move on.
So it's kind of like the movie JFK or The Social Network. You surround it in a kernel of truth and then you just kind of do something slightly different to make it more interesting.
I don't watch movies, so I don't
know.
He
does not watch movies. But he does listen to music, Jared.
Yeah.
And
constantly.
Constantly. He loves his little techno remixes, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of that in this particular segment. We like to call life-changing songs, or songs that have changed your life, depending how wordy you want to be. So we have covered a lot of different types of music here. We've talked about things we love. We talked about things we've hated. We've covered full years of music.
We haven't done a year in review in a while. What are you doing?
We should probably do that.
You
like
off track.
You like those,
off track.
Adam?
Completely off track.
Yeah, I like stuff.
Let's do the year 2012.
Except for Dragon Age 2. He does not like that.
It's not a strategy game anymore. It's not strategy. I hate giant block games.
Play the game. You'll hate it too.
Okay.
I've played it. I played through it, and I'm going to play through it again. So, you know, I clearly have a problem.
He hates it so much, he's going to keep playing it.
He's going to hate it till he loves it. Anyway,
so today we talk about songs that in one way or another have changed our lives. Now, it doesn't mean that Jared hears a song that was on an episode of ER and he wants to become a doctor or something like that. But
it could.
It could. It absolutely could. Let's not kid ourselves. If we're into lying about what our songs have done to us, like I should have done with The Brick House... God knows what my song will do to me, but we'll see. So we've got a selection of songs here, a couple from Jared, one from Adam, one from myself. And well, let's just get into it. So, Jared, since you have two songs,
yeah,
do they work together, or can we break them into pieces? Break them into two segments?
It's part of an ensemble. They work together.
Okay,
so it's kind of a moment
in
time.
Should we start with you?
I guess.
Well, you want to start with Adam?
Oh, we can start with me. I'll get me out of the
way. Adam, you want to start? Adam is in some sort of weird Coxman trance.
All right.
Jared.
So I put a lot of thought into this because I'm like, you know, trying to find a song that really changed my life is kind of a difficult thing to do, don't you think?
Right. Because then you have to admit, like, that you're a pussy to some extent.
I don't know that. And I guess I didn't really find anything that really, I guess, changed me in an emotional sense or anything like that. But I found a pair of songs that really kind of, I guess, changed my musical taste significantly. Mm. And we're going to go all the way back to 1986.
Oh, my God.
1986. And this was the year when hip-hop hit big time. And the two songs I picked are Run-DMC's Walk This Way and Beastie Boys' Fight for Your Right to Party.
Beastie Boys? Who are they?
You may have heard of them, little trio out of Brooklyn, New York.
I like that video that you linked on Facebook the other day.
It's going to be epic. New album coming May 3rd. Anyway.
I think this is a little convenient. New album from the Beastie Boys. Jared picks the Beastie Boys.
I picked the song out before I knew that this was
I knew. I
it's
knew.
Like the Foo Fighters having a documentary on TV, but then having an album come out the next day.
Shocking.
It seems suspicious.
I knew he was going to pick the Beastie Boys, and that's why I didn't. Because I almost did.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So anyway, I have a couple clips, but we'll get to that in a second. I chose these two songs because these songs are both kind of the songs that got me into listening to rap music exclusively. And I had heard of Run-DMC prior to this, but I wasn't really into it. Like, some friends in the neighborhood knew about it, and they were like, would sing like King of Rock and stuff like that. So I had heard a couple songs here and there, but Walk This Way and then the album that came with it, Raising Hell, was just like an eye opener to me. I heard this, and it just, for some reason it just clicked with me. This was music I guess I couldn't necessarily relate to lyrically necessarily, but for some reason the beat and the rhythm of it all just really, really captured me. And what the hell? We'll play the first clip. This is a little clip of, if you haven't heard it, you've been living under a rock apparently, but this is Run-DMC's Walk This Way.
That guy sounds like that ugly lady on American Idol.
I know, doesn't he? This was a song that basically Rick Rubin, who was producing their album, pulled out the record that this original Aerosmith version was on and thought, hey, you know, this would make for a good remake. And the group was reluctant at first, but they acquiesced. And then it turned out to be, you know, their probably biggest hit ever. The biggest hit for hip hop at the time. Basically broke it through on the mainstream. I think it hit number 5 on the Billboard chart. It was insane. It was like, basically, this put it on the map. This put rap on the map.
This song changed music forever.
Absolutely.
In a number of different ways, and also revitalized the career of Aerosmith, who were absolutely nowhere at the time.
You're absolutely right. So that's that in a nutshell. I mean, you know the song. I mean, there's not a whole lot of history to go into it other than, you know, it was, like I said, just a song that Rick Rubin pulled out the record, suggested they do it. They did it, became a big hit.
Let me ask you a question, Jared. Yeah. I know you listen to a lot of other podcasts, and you've turned me on to the Sounds of Young America, and Jesse Thorne is the main guy in there. And he recently did an interview with a guy who wrote a book on the business of hip hop. Did you listen to that interview?
I did.
And so he was talking about Run-DMC.
Yeah.
And who was the guy that created them? It was a big, you know,
Well, it was Joseph Simmons' brother, Russell Simmons.
Russell Simmons, exactly. And so Russell Simmons suggested the name Run-DMC, mm-hmm. and initially they hated that name. They just thought it was, that's what the guy said, that they were not excited at all about that name. But They went with it anyway, and look at them. I mean, it's the most recognizable name in hip hop.
It's if you go back to the early to mid 80s and you look at what Russell Simmons and Rick Rubin did to put hip hop on the map, it's incredible. I mean, Russell Simmons was a genius when it came to marketing, and Rick Rubin had the production chops to and you know the songwriting savvy to know what was going to be a hit. I mean, anything you know prior to 1986 was okay. It was good. It worked in its small little market, but it definitely wasn't crafted to hit the pop scene like Walk This Way and this next song, which is, as I said, Fight for Your Right in parentheses to Party by the Beastie Boys, also produced by Rick Rubin and released the same year. Go figure. The song was obviously you've heard it. It's kind of, you know, a silly, hokey sounding song until you understand that really it was written to spoof the party rock songs of the era, like Smoking in the Boys Room and I can't remember who else, but you know, a lot of people who liked the song though and would shout along at concerts didn't understand that they were being mocked by this very song. So let's play a little clip of this just to remind you of what we're talking about. Yeah, so there's that. So like I said...
What was that, Ill Communication?
License to Ill.
Yeah,
License to Ill.
Like I said, these two songs were my gateway drug into rap. Once I heard these songs and got the albums and got the albums into my head, it was literally for 2 years, all I listened to was rap music. And it was Run DMC, Beastie Boys, LL Cool J. I went back to like years prior and got some Curtis Blow and Houdini. And
I don't know who that is.
I would literally go to Musicland and just buy cassettes because that's what I got at the time to play my Walkman. Cassettes of rappers. I had no idea who they were because, you know, obviously there was no internet. It was really hard to find out about anything at that time and just like try them, you know. So I'd get like, trying to think who else.
You didn't look in the zines to find information? A zine?
I didn't know what a zine was. This was 86. I was 13. I don't know.
Jared had no idea what a zine was. He was an amateur coxman. An amateur in the medieval.
Yes. So what I think is interesting about these two songs is that individually, they're not that really revelatory of what either act was capable of. If you listen to the other songs on either album, they're of such higher quality. I mean, the performances are so much better. The lyrics are better. The music is more interesting. It's interesting that, you know, you had to have these two songs to hit big time the mainstream to kind of open up to what else was possible with rap music. And I don't know.
Beastie Boys didn't like this song, right?
They did not, and they never perform it. And
yeah, I see them every time,
but they don't like it now. They don't like a lot of their older stuff.
It's kind of a means to an end for them, right? Like, I mean, it opened the doors for them. But that's...
and they're different people. Obviously, they're a little bit more bratty, a little bit more socially conscious in those days.
They're all three of them are Jews.
Still Jewy. That has not changed.
Well, not one of them's not.
Oh, he got out of it.
He's a Buddhist.
Yeah,
Yauk. Adam Yauk.
So there. So I mean, I guess that's all I have to say. It's you know, a moment in time, really seminal songs that shaped modern music and really changed what I listened to. I mean, I gradually started bringing other forms of music back in. You know, once like was it 104 here became like the alternative station. I listened to that a lot.
Tread lightly because you're going into my area.
Okay,
now.
I'm just saying. I gradually started bringing in more, you know, alternative rock. I started listening to, you know, more of the glam rock and heavy metal stuff like Guns N' Roses and stuff. But never really stopped listening to rap until probably mid-90s. Once I got real commercial and it didn't really interest me that much anymore.
And you became very comfortable with your blatant racism. You could put that out there. Blatant racism. It was, son of a gun.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
Was it when Biggie died?
Was Biggie the turning point?
I was kind of out of rap before the whole Biggie thing even
hit. That brought
you
back in.
So, but I dabble here and there now since. You know, it really takes a lot for me to get into an artist, but I don't know. I always prefer more of the sample-based music versus the straight old-school drum machine and keyboardy stuff that's out there now.
Sure. But,
I don't know.
Let me tell you, child,
easily produced, you know, not a lot of thought to it, maybe.
The two best rap albums I've heard in the last year are Hoodie Allen and Childish Gambino, and they're both like that. They're both.
I like a lot of local stuff like Atmosphere and like a lot of the Rhymesayer stuff.
Yep. So.
I'm excited for Childish Gambino, by the way.
Me too.
It'll be interesting.
A bunch of us are going, so we'll have to figure out if we want to get together for that.
You guys should.
That's it.
Make it a date.
So it changed my life in that it changed the music I was listening to.
For the better.
And that stuck with
me. For the better. Well, let's
look more Power Man 5000 for any of us.
Let's look over at Adam. I'm sure he's got something obscure but interesting to share.
Sure.
So let's hit him.
So I took a more literal approach when we were going with songs that changed our lives. And so I picked the Paul Simon song that I was conceived to.
Wow. Interesting angle.
Your folks really share a lot. They share a lot.
No, not really. That would have been funny, though, right? And gross. Okay.
That's a good story, Jared. Hey, no brick house.
Well, it was shorter.
Done. That. I was conceived of this song. The end. No clip needed.
So
they didn't even hit the bridge. They just got over it.
So I picked a song that I think a lot of people have heard, but maybe they aren't super familiar with, though it definitely sounds like a lot of songs that a lot of people have heard.
It has notes and instruments.
Notes.
Right, right. It's music to some extent. It is the song, it's called This Is the Dream of Evan and Chan, or Chan, depending on a story I'll tell you in a minute. And it's by Dintel, who is Jimmy Tamborello. And I know that you're going to be like, I have no idea who that is. Most people are going to be like that. But he is the other half of the Postal Service.
Mm.
So this was actually the first time that...
Well,
this was the first collaboration between Tamborello and Ben Gibbard, who is the lead singer of, you know, those other guys.
Right on.
Oh, this is like a rocket ship to excitement.
So anyway, the song, which is kind of interesting. I remember reading about this before and then kind of re-realizing it while doing this. It was actually written about Evan Dando and the lady from Cat Powers, Chan Marshall, or Chan Marshall, depending
on... What band is Evan Dando in?
The Lemonheads. Also just Evan Dando
by himself.
The Evan Dando Experience.
I've said the story before. He stepped on my wife's hand at a concert. Thank you.
Fucking jerk.
I know.
Go punch him.
She had sex with him.
when you listen to the song... this song was from 2001. And when you listen to it... It sounds like the Postal Service, first of all, but I like it more than any other Postal Service song. And it also kind of sounds like every other indie electro pop song that comes out these days. Like I almost think of it as a template for that genre, which, you know, it existed at the time. It's existed since the 80s, but not in this sense. So my whole reason for it being important to me was I had like a 3-year-long breakup going on at the time, and pretty much all I was doing to get by was listening to music. And it's one of those where Ben Gibbard's lyrics are really sad, but the music's upbeat. So I always like that kind of, opposites stuff going on in songs. So yeah, there's no hand clapping though. Which is the only...
That is a disappointment.
The only way I would improve this song, I think. So, I don't know. Let's listen to a clip
Let's get a clip of this.
Okay.
I won't talk over it. No, it's okay.
You gonna give us commentary?
See, at this part, he's using... a drum machine.
He then played every song from... bashfully
So the song's actually on Dentelle's 2001 album, Life is Full of Possibilities, but they put it on the Postal Service album. Like, there was, like, an extended version of that that they wound up putting it on, too. So that's why, you know, there are some people out there that have probably heard it before.
Seems like a bit of a modern song for 2001.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
A little bit ahead of its time.
I feel like it holds on pretty well. Yeah, that's...
So it got you through.
That's what got him through.
It did.
I almost did a got me through type song.
Yeah. I got to look at some got me through songs. Maybe that's an episode.
It
gets you through.
I tried to do a got me through song, but it ended up being like the whole album was a got me through, and that would have been Cake's Fashion Nugget. Because that hit me when I was going through a breakup, and it was just like, I would just put that on and play Super Mario 64 and forget about what was going on.
Is that the one with Italian leather sofa?
Yeah. And The Distance and Friend is a Four-Letter Word and
All sorts of
I Will
stuff.
Survive.
Yeah.
It's like that's like breakup album right there.
Album. I think we have got a show topic right here. This is new. We should trademark the "Got Me Through" "Got Me Through" song. That does not exist, does it? Can't it? Can't
sure. The other one that I came really close to using was "Where It's At" because I think that Odelay in general brought me into liking rock in some fashion again. Although people, you can debate on if Beck's a rock act or a rap act. But Beck's kind of the reason that Limp Bizkit exists too. So,
sort of sad but true.
Okay.
So I guess that leaves me, Jared.
Yep.
Let's treat my song as a clip because it starts right away. So we'll just treat it as a clip. I'll tell you when to play it.
Okay.
Let's not do it as a song, but a sound bed. So the song that I picked comes from 1989. I'm almost embarrassed to pick because for some reason I just think Adam would bust my chops for this.
Oh, I saw what it was on Dropbox already.
But you have to. But I mean, there's a context for it, so we're going to do it. I picked "Love Shack" by the B-52s.
Wow.
And it's pretty much the B-52s are the second most famous band to come out of Athens, Georgia. The other being REM. B-52s known since the late 70s is kind of one of those bands that's really alternative and. Love Shack and the album that it came off of, Cosmic Thing, really was their mainstream breakout. They didn't really do much after that. They had another album, but Cosmic Thing definitely put them on the map beyond Rock Lobster and, you know, Planet Clear and what other four or five albums they did. So what is Love Shack about? It's really about something that these guys did a lot. They would go on road trips and, you know, drive through the South. And there was a bar in Montgomery, Alabama called the Love Shack. So they would go there. And, you know, that's just to be the place where they could, you know, party and have a good time. Which seems sort of strange to me. Like, you know, this band that very, very odd, you know, beehives and bouffants. And, you know, that's just sort of the way they lived. And, you know, a lead singer who is... You know, eclipses what the word gay means to. I mean, Fred Schneider is gay. I mean, there's no question about it. So to be driving to Montgomery, Alabama, just seems sort of strange to me. The only other thing of note in this song is the lyric, you know, tin roof and rusted, which really refers to a cabin that they used to record songs at and that one of the members of the band lived at. So it was really kind of this nonsensical lyric that made it into the song, but it's really, you know, I guess cements kind of the iconic status of what that song is. I mean, that pause, and then they kick it, and they go into the song again. So why don't we play a little bit of Love Shack, and then I'll tell you about why it changed my life.
Sounds like a party going on.
Ooh, it is a party.
If you see a faded sign at the side of the road that says 15 miles to the Love Shack.
Fred Snyder, manliest man?
Oh, absolutely.
So.
I love listening to that guy talk.
This lady always reminded me of the lady from Pee-wee's...
Kate Pearson, yeah, Miss Yvette or whatever.
I got me
So there we are, Love Shack 1989. Now, everyone knows Love Shack as like this mainstream mega hit that everybody loves and sings. and as you know, everybody knows the song.
Did you swallow a gnat there?
I know, it was really crazy. But you have to remember in 1989, 1990, this B-52s were clearly an alternative band, and this was a song that took a while to cross over into, you know, the mindset of, you know, the KDWBs or the local top 40 stations. B-52s were played a lot here on KJ104, which was the alternative station at the time that Jared had mentioned in his segment.
Yeah.
And I think that, as I recall, I learned about the B-52s by watching MTV at the time, where they played music videos. It was an amazing thing. And MTV was slightly ahead of the curve, because I think they did, at that time, they were doing 120 minutes, which was their alternative program, along with like Headbangers Ball. So, I mean, they had these specialty shows, and for some reason, this song kind of clicked with me. And actually, the single before, which was called Channel Z, that was the first single off the album, they played that. And I don't know what it is about the B-52s that I liked, and I eventually, they were my favorite band for a long time. I mean, the singing is crazy, and it's annoying. You think of like REM, it's kind of a acquired taste, Michael Stipe. It's you know, it's not something that you normally would hear on the radio.
Yeah.
And that was something that, for some reason at that time, appealed to me. It was different than the Richard Marx that were on the radio in 1989, or the Paula Abduls, or, you know, like Motown Philly BS stuff that really was like, that was
Motown
the time. It was
Philly.
You know, and you started having hip-hop kind of transforming into something a little bit different, kind of gaining steam. But it really wasn't like the all credible. There was a lot of crap in there. And I just didn't like the music at the time. So a song like this really kind of opened my eyes to other bands that might have been around for a while or that were new. I'm thinking like of The Cure and Midnight Oil and Depeche Mode were kind of hitting big, and like the Happy Mondays. So you've got these bands out of England, which are sort of bubbling up to the top. And it was a really interesting time for music. It was a nice transitionary period for me, going from hating music to really knowing there's a whole other world out there.
Wow. How old were you?
1989, so I probably was 15 or okay. 16 at the time.
I feel like everyone between like 13 and 16 feels like, you know, when you ask them after the fact, music was terrible.
Yeah.
And then because like that's like when I don't even think I listened to music before I was 12 or something.
Yeah, I wasn't really into it.
Yeah.
I'm a little different. I listened to music quite early. I was a MTV kid, you know, probably from about 1983 or so. In 1983, I was 9 years old. So, I mean, I was definitely into music all, you know, from an early age. I didn't buy music, but I listened to it all the time. I would tape it off on the tape recorder from the radio itself.
Oh, yeah.
I'd listen to like For the Reflex or, you know, something from the newest Huey Lewis in the newest song, and I would record it. But that music kind of went away in the late 80s. I still say the late 80s is a bad time for music. Doesn't matter who you are. It was just sort of looking for an identity at that time. It was heavy hair metal. Not even hair metal, just sort of glam.
It was transitioning away from glam metal to more, you know, I guess, you know, your Guns N' Roses and stuff.
Yeah.
Those kind of bands are taking over. Yeah, obviously hip-hop was coming on.
You had like,
I don't know if it was struggling for an identity other than in so much as it has multiple identities.
Yeah, and you, at that time you had a resurgence of like boy bands. You know, you think about New Kids on the Block were really popular. Lightweight stuff that, you know, comes around every 10 years or so.
Yeah.
So it just was not a happy time for music. But you get something like this, which is completely different, and it was really exciting to me. And I believe that Cosmic Thing was the first CD I ever bought. I think I like bought it at the local Best Buy or something. Or
like mine was Two Live Crew, as nasty as they want to be.
First CD for you, Adam.
CD.
I know it was Warren G, Regulators, and Doggy Style, same day.
Wow. Double combo penetration there, I guess.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Always a Coxman, I guess.
Always a Coxman.
I think Bobby Brown's album was in there.
Bobby
as well.
B.
What was your first cassette?
Oh, this is an easy question for me. Oh, yeah. Easily.
Go ahead.
It was Madonna's Like a Virgin and The Barge's album.
El
DeBarge.
Those were the two. My brother and I had to share them, and we listened to them on our boombox and or Walkman that we also shared.
Nice. I got a boombox for some birthday. It was before I was 12, so I guess I'm lying when I said we don't really listen to music before an age. But it was Bon Jovi's Slippery When Wet.
Wow.
And I didn't pick it out.
My wife would love you.
Did you get the original cover with the boobies?
No, it was
the garbage bag with
a sign, right?
Written like in water. Sign. Yes.
Yeah. And Joe Satriani, some album, right?
You're probably the only one who bought a Satriani album.
Yeah. I didn't buy it. Okay. My dad bought it for me.
I never understood Satriani.
Never.
No, it was all instrumental, right? I think I tried to listen to it once, yeah. And I was
that
like,
was it. Thanks,
this?
Dad.
Yeah.
This is good for you.
I think my first tape was either Sowing the Seeds of Love by Tears for Fears or Stormfront by Billy Joel. I didn't buy, like I said, I didn't buy a lot of music, so that was actually 1988-89.
I wonder if he knows that album is now used as, not the album, but the name of the album is used as a white supremacist website.
What is?
Stormfront.
Stormfront, is it really? Billy Joel, he probably encouraged it. So there you go.
He did, too, start the fire.
Song. fill in the rest of the joke in your mind right there. So songs that have changed our lives. I'm sure we could do this bit again if we wanted to, but I appreciate that Jared and Adam dug into their memory banks to pull out some stuff, and I hope you guys enjoyed the segment. So guess what, guys? We got a lot more show coming up. Let's take a musical break, and we'll be back right after this.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
There, dropping the beat. This week's song comes from Devo Spice, featuring MC Lars. The song is called Earworm. You can find out more at devospice.com or thefump.com.
I get up Friday morning and I'm singing a song, but realize to my surprise there's something seriously wrong, because my brain does a loop when it gets to the end. I hear a verse, then a chorus, then it starts right up again. I sing it in the shower, and then when I dry my hair, I look sexy when I sing it in my worn-out underwear. The song's still going strong as I'm putting on my new suit. At breakfast when I sang, I nearly choked on a Fruit Loop. Finally, it fades away as I prepare to leave. I breathe a sigh of relief. My brain is finally at ease. I get in my car, turn the key, and away we go. And guess what song is playing on the radio? I get to work, and I see my buddy Craig. But he backs away and looks at me as if I got the plague. Because I'm singing out loud, I'm the dancing queen. Young and sweet, only 17. Make it stop. I'm going to do something awful to you. Make it stop.
God, make it stop.
The song is doing to me. Oompa loompa doopa dee doo.
It's still going.
The song will never stop bothering you.
Please help.
Oompa loompa doopa dee dee.
I can't take
You'll be singing this for all eternity.
Don't get me wrong, yo, I love a catchy song. But some tracks are real annoying when they make you sing along. Malicious songwriters know it's mind control. Spending publishing advances while it's voodoo on your soul. Maybe Katy Perry's very scary. There she goes again, sincerely making everybody wary of dark magic that she carries. This teenage dream is in fact a teenage nightmare. Mars singing bars in your head for like 9 years. Unless you hang a pentagram, sacrifice a Bieber fan. Major labels doing damage, save yourself and even then. Every song you've ever loved, every ad you've ever heard, earworms all up in your brain, doing damage, it's absurd. Indie bands too, these pop charts are no liars. It's a vampire weekend, the arcade is on fire. Demonic pentatonic, I'm on it, I want it out. Calculated melodies, something I can do without. Devo Spice and MC Lars, we so nice, we underground. Working on a clever sound, better rhymes are never found. I said it before, and I'll say it again. The mainstream is whack, thank God he and I are friends.
I'm going to do something awful to you.
Make it stop.
Dear
God, make it stop.
This song is doing to me. Oompa loompa doopa dee doo. The song will never stop bothering you. Oompa loompa doopa dee dee. You'll be singing this for all eternity.
Will someone please explain why my brain tends to crash and repeat the same refrain like a record with a scratch? Thankfully, it's just me who gets to hear the song's persistence. Otherwise, ASCAP would likely sue me out of existence. It's called an earworm when the song goes on and on, because it burrows into your brain like the wrath of God. Even songs that you enjoy become annoying over time. I've even started to hate a few songs of mine.
Yeah, me too.
What?
Never mind, dude.
Anyway, I'm still humming that same dumb song from yesterday. I wanna cry. Will someone please explain to me why I'm singing Jingle Bell Rock through the middle of July? So now I'm getting desperate. This is driving me insane. It's like the song is trying to burrow a hole into my brain. I gotta get it out before my cerebellum warps. So now my only recourse is Cannibal Corpse.
this so much better.
We now return to the scope, just for the hell of it.
Under the scope.
Yes, indeed. Under the scope. Coming at ya.
At ya.
With news.
I wish Under the Scope was a little more friendly. Not always coming at you, but maybe just wants to sit down for a chat.
And embrace you. Put a gentle arm around you.
I don't think this
a coffee and a scone, perhaps?
This segment is always yelling, you know? So
All right, get us fired up,
Adam. A lot of anger in this segment.
So, most of, like, the news this week was about, politics with either... In Wisconsin, they were hiding votes.
Yeah. Were they hiding votes?
Well, a lady messed up. And the incumbent guy who's, the they don't do parties for
Republican wink wink.
Yeah. He's going to wind up winning now because they found like 15,000 votes. Which,
is that suspect or is that just human
people
error?
Screw up. I get it.
Yeah. It was closer than it was before or whatever.
But, yeah. So that the government shut down in D.C. here in Minnesota, Senate Republicans introduced a bill to basically redo how the renter's tax credit stuff works, which I realize both of you own, so you probably haven't dealt with.
Yeah, I didn't even hear about this. Tell me what this is.
So they like revised everything down, so like if you make however much you make, you're going to get less from a renter's tax credit. So in Minnesota, they have property taxes and everything for homeowners. They have tax credits for renters. And it's obviously aimed at, helping typically lower income because it's all based on how much you make. So if you're paying $700 a month in rent and your income is $21,000 a year, there's like a chart. You figure it out how much.
There's not a lot of take home pay after that.
Right. So, yeah, Senate Republicans decided, no, that's not helping anyone. So, there's the way they figured it, it's about 15,000 people that, kind of were at the top end of what it, and I think it cuts off at $42,000. So people like right at $42,000 won't be getting a credit next year and everyone below them will be getting less. But, all these businesses that don't have to pay taxes or get to pay less taxes and the rich people...
Or get a refund from the government.
Yeah, yeah. They're still cool, I guess. I mean, this is one of those where it's like, when Republicans say we have to cut taxes for businesses or the rich because they're the ones that spend money to help the economy, it's like... At least that's an argument. At least you can be like,
it's an argument that's been statistically proven false.
But I mean,
tax cuts do not create jobs.
I agree. But I mean, at least there's you could say for a second, okay, well, there's more money, so people are going to spend more money. Like, I don't know how you defend this. They said it's to help balance the budget, but it's like, well, you're only punishing the low income people when you're doing this. Anyway, last night, at 11 o'clock,
11:52 and 36 seconds, which is after 12 a.m. according to my daughter.
I always go over the more complex number on top.
The federal budget they have some sort of plan. There's nothing solid about. So like supposedly what was holding it up was Planned Parenthood because Republicans are all about getting jobs created, so they needed to fund Planned Parenthood.
Makes perfect sense.
Right.
Perfect one-to-one correlation.
And I wonder where Adam's political leanings are. In this segment, you cannot tell.
In times like this, I lean on Anthony Weiner. When he says, yes, the best way to stop abortions is to defund the number one supplier of contraceptives.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
No federal money ever spent on abortions for Planned Parenthood. Right.
Well, not since 1996.
Okay.
That's when
I'm just getting a little tired of this country being ruled by the minority. That's all.
Right. Blacks.
Not that. People with the minority.
Hispanics.
People with the minority opinion or agenda somehow have all the power to make changes in their favor.
Yeah.
I don't understand how this country is broken like that, but.
But it is.
It is. So, thankfully, people who are being hurt by this are actually fighting back, though. So
yeah.
Maybe we'll get something out of it.
Supposedly, they had some sort of deal where they said they would make the Planned Parenthood defunding a separate bill. Maybe. Nothing will be known for sure until Thursday or something. So we'll see. But, I mean, the Republicans know if they make it a separate bill, like the president will never sign it. It won't pass the Senate.
It's all posturing. It's all show. It's like I read an opinion article on the whole budget fight, and this particular statement kind of put it in perspective. He said it's like a family that makes $172,000 a year fighting over $200.
Yeah,
that's what the whole Planned Parenthood, or I think it was even the $7 billion they were quibbling over, which defunded Pell Grants and all kinds of things that help lower income people get ahead.
Well, who wants lower-income people getting ahead? Then
certainly not.
Let's lock it in.
Right. Let's make sure that divide gets bigger.
One more political thing, and this is more of a statement, but on Reddit, there was a really big thread, so I'm just going to go ahead and say, we just should stop talking about Donald Trump.
Exactly.
Just no more, no Donald Trump
discussion.
He's
not going to run for president. No. All he's doing is getting his name out there and promoting his show.
And talking about crazy-ass things.
Stop giving him a forum, and it will go away.
Yeah.
That's how this always works.
Yeah.
You take away Glenn Beck's advertisers, this show goes away.
Yeah. So, just annoying. That's all. Earlier on the show, I mentioned the notorious B.I.G., Biggie Smalls.
Yeah. Biggie, yeah.
How can you not? I mean, that's you got to talk about that every
Christopher
show.
Christopher Wallace, if you want to go with
his maiden name.
Given his maiden name. Before Suge Knight made him married him and changed it to Notorious B.I.G.
Married him.
What's Suge Knight's real name? It's Marion something. Anyway, I don't know why this came out. Actually, I think the FBI had to, like, Request of Information Act or something. They had to release a lot of documents and just related to lots of stuff from the 90s. And part of it was their investigation into the Notorious B.I.G.'s murder.
Oh, right.
So there's like a lot of redacted, information that came out the other day. So some of the things that they found out is that the bullets that killed him were rare in quotes, Gecko 9mm ammunition, which is only made in Germany, and it's only sold at two distribution places in the States, one in California and one in New Jersey. So you'd think like they'd be able to track that down if they had to. Maybe, I don't know.
You would think.
There was a lot of redacted information about LAPD officer names, and there's always been kind of these theories that Suge Knight had LAPD officers on the payroll, and that maybe one of them was either covering up or more involved than that. And then there's also talk that Biggie had connections to the Genovese crime family in New York.
Hmm.
And that maybe this was like a payback
pissed
thing.
Off the wrong guy.
For something of that, too.
The wrong Guido.
And then I like this article. It ends on a quirkier note. Murder.
Yeah,
right?
On a quirky.
The contents of Biggie's pockets at the time of death were listed. He had a Georgia driver's license, which is weird because A, he didn't drive, and B, he's from New York. A pen. 0.91 grams of marijuana, an asthma inhaler, and three condoms. And the condoms were listed as
Magnum.
Magnum,
he's
yeah.
a big boy.
But someone made like a funny comment, was like, that was a shitty day for Biggie because he got shot, sure, but he also got shorted on his gram of marijuana that he bought.
What a bummer.
And those condoms were unused.
Right. Yep. Well, I mean, maybe he had like 12, though.
Yeah. Oh, true.
Yeah. He disposes of them properly,
He went
sir.
Through nine of them, and he's got three left over.
Three. He's expecting a busy night.
Let's see. Either one of you watched the HBO Ricky Gervais animated show?
I've never seen it.
Okay. It, but I've listened to the podcast, right. At least like the first three seasons of it.
It's, yeah, so anyone that doesn't know, it's just an animated version of the podcast.
Sure.
I like it a lot.
It's like Carl Pilkington's like perfectly round head.
Yes.
Speaking of round heads, it's kind of a theme.
The series has been on for two seasons on HBO, and HBO picked it up for a third season, they announced earlier this week. They say it doesn't pull in many ratings at all, but it's super cheap for them to make, and it's one of those where, to have an association with Ricky Gervais, it's like, oh, that's pretty good. They work together on...
Do another show.
Stuff. Yeah. This one's specifically for Jared and the other weirdos out there. Minecraft now has an official launch date.
Yes. I know what it is.
November 11th, 2011, or 11-11-11.
Yep. Clever.
Even though you can buy it now and get all your updates for free.
It's one of those where, like, those few times where he's put it on sale for $3 or whatever, it's like, maybe you just go in and get it at that point, because it's like, maybe at some point it would be a game I'd want to play. But so
that's when it's officially supposed to leave beta status and be 100% ready to go.
If it goes on sale for $3, Jared, tell me and I will buy it.
It hasn't really been on sale recently at all.
I didn't touch anything.
I think that was me. I think that was my foot.
Okay. Careful.
Sorry about that.
It's a technical show. It happens.
The World Bank came out with an interesting finding this week that gold farming, which if you're not familiar on in games like World of Warcraft and EverQuest when that was still a thing, any of these like MMO persistent type games, that gold farming aids poor nations. So, you know, what people in China and Vietnam will do is they'll be playing this game and, you know, they'll accumulate lots of gold and then they'll sell that gold for real money on the internet. So if, you know, if I'm like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to spend 4 days killing monsters. I'll spend 12 bucks to get 1,000 gold in game or whatever.
Sure.
So the World Bank found that this is actually really helpful. The study estimates that 98 cents of every dollar made from gold farming stays in the nation where the work was done, compared to 7 cents for every dollar made from the coffee industry, for example.
Hmm.
So it's like a really wow. And it, like this thing's like illegal in all these games.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do this.
Right, it messes with, you know, the in-game economy and stuff like that. But an interesting finding.
Do you mine for gold blocks in Minecraft?
You can, but there's no currency or I mean, some people who have multiplayer servers have kind of set up their own economy, and there are mods you can install that actually will run an economy for you, so that you can do trading and stuff. But yeah, and I pretty much play single player, and you know, I would. There's not much to do with gold. But
not much to do with
gold. I collect
gold.
It when I see it.
Because it's pretty.
I don't specifically target it, though.
He does not target it.
Finally, while the whole budget thing's been going on, the House of Representatives on Friday voted to overturn net neutrality rules that the FCC created in December.
Where is this going? Let's talk.
Nowhere. This is going specifically nowhere because although Obama has caved in on, you know, let's say 75% of his campaign pledges.
Oh, my goodness.
He has promised to veto any legislation reversing these rules. The Senate wouldn't pass it either, so it wouldn't really matter. They're just
is anyone else supremely annoyed that they fuck around with stuff that will never possibly pass? They'll never get past the Senate, much less past the president.
Yeah.
It's one of those where, posturing.
Yeah.
It's stupid, though. I mean, how often are they going to posture before they actually do some shit?
Yeah, but then next year they can be like,
we fought to keep your children safe.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, fuck them.
Democrats didn't want to keep your children safe.
Tired of the marketing of politics. I just want some actual things to happen.
Jared wants action. He's a man of action. Get to it.
I just want my Coxman Union formed.
Yeah.
And they won't let me.
I don't blame them.
Jerks. That's it. That is all for
news.
That's
it, Jared.
Wow.
News is over.
There was no entertainment stuff. It was
pretty quiet.
There was nothing on TV for the past 3 weeks, it seems like.
It really hasn't been much. A lot of those, you know, fill-in sitcoms that I watch that you guys don't watch have been on. But
this next week, it's going to start kicking to high gear pretty much to the end. So
Will Ferrell. Making The Office funny again, right?
I know. Can't wait. Jared.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
To what?
To reviews. Adam, take it away again.
All right. It's all me.
It is really. This is you.
You're the anchor.
We're
the anchor that drags our show to the bottom.
Wow.
Tonight in news.
So this past week, we all listened to The Strokes' new album.
At least this last week.
Or, yeah. For the past 3 weeks, we've all been intently listening on nothing but this.
One album. 11 songs.
And that statement actually isn't false with regard to me.
Continue.
And this album is called Angles, not Angels, as I may have spelled on here.
Bust my ass all the time for misspells, but you can't even get the name of an album that we're reviewing. One word.
So this album has received mostly positive reviews, a little mixed, but mostly positive. But for me, the first few times listening to it, the only thing I could think is this it? Get it? You guys know what the first album The Strokes
this
was?
This is it.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the
already into the opinion part of the program.
Jared is practically in a coma over there.
The story behind the recording of this this album is kind of interesting to me. Initially, the band recorded in Avatar Studios in Midtown Manhattan with Joe Ceccarelli. Sure. The guy
sounds like Italian.
Yeah, something vaguely Italian.
Yeah.
Not even vaguely, just something super
supremely Italian. Joe Pizzeria Spaghetti, that's his name.
He's produced albums for The Shins and My Morning Jacket. And he specializes in capturing full band performances live off the floor. But the band found that the results of the audio sessions were unsatisfactory. Guitarist Albert Hammond Jr. went as far to say, it just sounded boring, telling the New York Times that. So the album attempts to, so the the band decided to
scrap it
basically and record all in Hammond's
took a big
own,
group dump on it on the master tapes.
Yeah,
that's a disgusting porno if there ever was one. The master tapes just taking a big circle dump right on them. Yeah.
They also decided to change up how they actually created the songs. In previous albums, Julian Casablancas had done everything. He wrote the lyrics. He wrote the music itself. This time, everyone in the group has contributed, you know, to writing guitar solos and bass lines.
Helping
and
out.
Lyrics. Yeah, helping out. This revised process is evident in the credits. They all say all music and all music was written and arranged by the Strokes. But all the interviews I read of this, like, none of them seem to like each other. Yeah. Casablancas called the new way Operation Make Everyone Satisfied. right? And the way that...
Which actually isn't necessarily a snarky way to put it, because that just seems to be how he operates.
It is a band.
He actually wants people to, like, be happy, I guess.
But the way that they did it is the band would record and then send him the music, and he would sing over it.
Lyricize it.
Right.
Yep.
And I don't know if that's common. It sounds weird, right?
Yeah, how do you make music, Jared? Is that a one method?
The remote part of it is uncommon. The... writing the music and recording it and then writing lyrics to it and recording the vocals later is definitely common. Usually it happens in the same place.
Sort of at the same time a little bit? Or is it just you actually complete a song and then... Okay, the song...
Sometimes the music is written beforehand and then you write lyrics to it later.
Wow.
Sure.
Interesting.
A lot of times.
Casablancas went on to tell the Times, "I think collaboration Strokes is more on the poppy side of things than I'm interested in personally." The album's first single is Under the Cover of Darkness.
There's no article. Come on. It's just Under the Cover of Darkness. Let's get it right.
What? What did I say?
Under the cover
the,
of darkness.
Come on.
Oh.
Professional, Adam. Professional.
I'm just busting your balls.
It's a very This Is It sounding song, all things considered, what with the dueling fretwork and cascading choruses. So
I
let's
like
take,
dueling fretwork.
Yeah. Let's take a listen.
And the podcast listeners will not know what happened because I always mix it down to mono. It does save on file size.
That was fun.
So we get the stereo in studio.
To me, no other song really captures that 2001 Strokes feel in the same way. In fact, a lot of the other songs have... they sound very strongly like other bands. Mm-hmm. And I realize that the Strokes have always been like, oh, this sounds like television influence. And I get that. But these... Like, none of that stuff usually sticks out to me that much, but in this one, you've got Gratisfaction, which sounds like a Billy Joel song. Other people said it also sounds like Thin Lizzy. Two Kinds of Happiness, which sounds like a Tom Petty song. And the next one that we'll listen to, Machu Picchu, often sounds like a Men at Work song.
Is that my cue?
And then we'll listen to it.
I am an 80s music expert. I will be the judge.
All right.
Hit it.
All right.
No?
I would say the song Second from the End, Metabolism, actually sounds like a lot like a Muse song.
Okay. Yeah,
I agree with that. And I thought the song You're So Right sounded like early Radiohead. Okay. Like I would hear it and I go, this sounds like Radiohead to me.
There's another song that sounds kind of like The Cars, too. I can't remember which one.
I think it compared to The Cars a lot in this album.
And The Cars have a new album coming out soon, next month, this month. That's it for the review. I kind of felt like... To me, this was like an album that felt like it was contractually obligated, like that the people were just there to be there. And I realize that's like the minority opinion, even on the internet.
I think there's a little bit of it. Hey, they want to pay us a bunch of money to do this.
Let's see if we can get a little Men at Work comparison, Jared. Can we hear this? Does this sound like that song?
No.
Well, I was thinking of that the 1 minute work song. What's the single?
Who Can It Be Now?
Sure.
They have a lot of saxophone in the Men at Work.
Wow. It was a thing of the time, I guess.
It really was.
What's the I Can Dance guys? Who's that?
I Can Dance? Oh, Men Without Hats?
Maybe that's who I was thinking of.
He can't even get his 80s references right. Anyway, go ahead. What? Adam.
Who?
Oh. Adam was saying that was
I liked how the album started. I did like those first two songs, and I feel like it just goes off a cliff, and it's just boring to me, the rest of the album. I was... like, if I want to hear a bad Radiohead song, I'd rather hear Radiohead sing a bad Radiohead song. So,
or a bad Men Without Hats song.
Well, I'd rather hear the Strokes sing. they do it way more stylishly in their $1,000 leather jackets.
They do. Yeah, this album was interesting because it does suffer from that schizophrenia, doesn't it? I mean, every song sounds different. There's no real thematic consistency through it, which... You know,
not a lot of albums don't have.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't have to be. I'm just saying that that's just sort of what they did, and that
maybe you want a more of a stylistic consistency.
Yeah, yeah, it's. I think that that's different from their other albums. I think other albums sort of, you know, they were all in a pocket and they just went with it from tracks 1 to 10. This one is kind of
maybe not as much of the place.
Don't think so. Well, I went back and re-listened, and I felt comfortable with that statement. But you know, here's the thing: I was the one that you know, reviewed it higher than Adam. And Jared's going to probably even love it even more than me. But I think that it was kind of a nice return of the Strokes. I mean, I enjoyed it. You know, it's so hard with an album like this because I feel like my opinion may be different in 6 months if I actually go back and listen to it. But, you know, it's one of those things where it sort of grows on you and for better or for worse. But I like their current single. I like a number of the tracks on here. I like the fact that they pulled in some more of that 80s keys synth vibe, which is a little more prevalent in this than some of their other work.
Even some electronic drums.
Electronic drums. I liked the guitar work. I thought that it was crisp and compact. It just was. It was like the economy of what they did. I thought that it wasn't like a lot of distortion necessarily, but
no.
I thought it was interesting what they did with it, and I don't normally pay attention to that in music, and it kind of caught my attention on this one. So
well, they're known for the dueling fret.
They are. like a dueling banjo.
I think Albert Hammond Jr. is probably the most competent member. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he had two albums come out between between the last two.
Yeah, everyone's
albums.
Had a solo album or
except,
been in a band.
Except
right?
for one.
One guy.
Like the bassist or the drum. I don't know which one. But
he's slapping the bass by himself.
Yeah.
Jared, go ahead. Sorry, I'm done. I've said my piece.
Well, as you alluded to, I definitely like this album more than both of you. In fact, I like it quite a bit. This is the first album in a long time where I've actually listened to it as an album in sequence multiple times and actually look forward to it. And I've been a Strokes fan since the very beginning, and so I, you know, maybe it's just maybe a little Strokes fandom coming out, but there's a number of songs on here I like. I love the first two songs. Machu Picchu is good. Undercover Darkness is one of my favorite songs in recent memory, and it's in my head. And it seems to be one of the only songs that's powerful enough to scrub away the song that is Rebecca Black's Friday. That gets stuck in my head for entirely different reasons, but I just start thinking of Undercover Darkness, and it goes away.
I was going to put a clip of that instead. Because of what you said on Twitter the other day, and I forgot.
That'd be funny. That would be funny. You do funny stuff, Adam.
You say it's a little schizophrenic, and I would agree with that, but I think I like that. I kind of like the fact that every song sounds a little bit different. But it's not too long. It's like, what, 38 minutes or something like that, and it's done. And it's
they get in, they get out.
It's out of your life, and I don't know. I just like it. I like the dueling guitars. I think some of the drumming is just, I've always thought of this on the Strokes. It's just really, really interesting and just a lot of cool stuff that I would like to be able to pull off. So I don't know. I like this. There's some interesting syncopation, but it also goes from syncopation to just straight, you know, right on the beat. And I like that contrast. Production's pretty good. You know, I don't, at this level, if you have shitty production, what are you even doing?
They sort of went away from, you know, that intentionally lo-fi sound where it's, you know, it sounds like
he's singing into a...
Like through gauze or something.
Yeah, there isn't as much preamp distortion in the vocals. There you go, Shane. I know my stuff.
I'll dish it out there, and you hit it out of the park. That's
and,
what I like.
But they start a little bit lo-fi. I mean, they have they definitely, if you listen to the guitars and the drums, they don't have any of the big studio sound that often rock bands will have with, you know, the big gated reverbs and just a lot of room tone. It's a lot more tight and controlled. Like you said, it's compact.
This is no Snow Patrol.
So you laughed. You laughed at me, but then we go right back to it.
And
what is Snow Patrol, by the way?
And,
no one is Snow Patrol.
I don't want to see Snow Patrol for another 8 months in this state.
Exactly. You know who Snow Patrol is? Snow Patrol was our band of the year one year. That's what Snow Patrol is.
That's true. Lowest common denominator band. That was.
And I just want to mention, I've liked the Strokes since before the first album. I remember seeing them on Conan in 2000, I want to say. And instantly being like, this is great. And then finding out that they were the saviors of rock and roll, which didn't come to be, but that's not their fault. I feel like maybe I've changed. It's not them, it's me. And
You've been listening to Adam is hipper than all of us.
I feel the same way when I listen to the Killers albums, you know, where I'm just like, I really liked these bands when they were starting.
Liked. Jared, yeah. He liked them, but he doesn't now.
Interpol, they're still the saviors of rock and roll, and they're from New York also.
There we go. Interpol is the big band. But let's see what big score the Strokes Angles gets from the Scope.
Ah.
Kaboom.
It helps if I don't have this muted. I'm just going to let that play out.
Okay.
And then we're going to bring it up again.
I say the Strokes.
And we're going to hit this.
The Scope score is... 2.75 stars.
So when you average out the three of our scores, that's what you end
that's
up
what
with.
You get. So that's actually a pretty good score, I think.
That's about where it is on Metacritic, I think. It's like in the seven. Around
we are
70.
Like Metacritic. Yeah. We're a microcosm.
We are destroying the video game industry.
We totally are. So that's been the review of the Strokes. We've got one more segment left in Under the Scope, Jared. Yeah. Coming.
Sorry, it came too soon.
Soon. So to see if you could hang with me. And
I just wanted to hit the finger.
This guy's got he's got an agenda.
Huh? I guess I had 4 hours of Foo Fighters material I want to get to.
It's very important. Go ahead, Adam. Sightnik.
Music.
Mm-hmm.
April 12th. This is a good week of music.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of good music coming up, but this is a good week. Go ahead.
And you only listed five here, but we could go farther.
Take your role.
Rebecca Black's full-length album is coming out this week.
Yeah. Seriously?
No.
Jared's like, I got it.
No.
Strokes and Rebecca Black.
Look, for as much flack as she get, you know, the song doesn't get 80 million YouTube views without there being something there.
The flack for Black.
Because
it's terrible. It's funny to listen to.
But it's a catchy song that gets in your brain is for even as shitty it is.
It is Friday.
Some might say like an earworm. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Callback.
Go ahead.
April 12th, Atmosphere's new album's coming out.
Ah, yes.
First two awesome. Singles I've heard from this are good, and so I'm happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
Foo Fighters' new album's coming out. I started listening to that yesterday. I like it so far.
Pre-release copy.
It's a review
Scope,
copy.
The right. Scope gets that.
A review copy.
Yeah.
I think
we all got one.
They've had it streaming on various websites.
Yes, they have.
There's legitimacy.
Yes. I follow them on Facebook. They tell me everything.
Katie Lang. Has a
Jared? There we
she's
go.
She's still around.
Jared's
still,
gonna...
Wait. Is she still lowercase?
Yes. The K and the D are lowercase.
Okay.
The Lang is Lana. She's related to Lana Lang.
Did you know?
Just looking for an update.
Jared is actually going to the Best Buy midnight opening for that album. He'll be there. He'll be there at midnight on Tuesday.
Wow.
Yes, they're doing a midnight opening. Why do you think Best Buy is struggling?
They're not.
No, they're not doing a Katie Lang midnight opening.
So like six people can show up to buy their Rock Band keyboard?
Ha ha! Hi-yo! We should have known something, Jared, that something was amiss.
The Meat Puppets. Yeah. It's the 90s all over again. And TV on the Radio.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
Soundgarden's recording an album, too, supposedly.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I'm excited for that TV on the Radio album, too. I've liked both their last two albums.
It's a challenging band. I've spent some time with them trying to figure out
intimate time.
What it is, and it, I'd be lying to say that it all makes sense to me, but
yeah,
you know.
Well, you're an old man.
Sometimes
Adam is
I try
youngster.
To put in the effort.
I appreciate that.
Let's see.
What else?
So these April 19th ones, I don't know any of these.
Okay, well, let's do it.
Dengue Fever.
I just like the name.
Is that Dengue Fever? We've talked about it on the show.
Yes,
here.
We have talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
Is the album called Cannibal Courtship, or is that a different band?
Let's say the album is called
okay.
Cannibal.
I'm from Barcelona. Who's that?
Another cool sounding band.
Barcelona. You got to get the fin.
Barcelona.
Okay. Yes. Duff from Guns N' Roses has a solo album. Duff
sure.
McKeegan.
Yeah.
Right. Duff. Sounds about right. I mean, only about 15 years too late, but hey.
He's right on top of trends, musical trends.
And the Taking the Sounds, Something to Die For. That's another one. You just like the name of the.
I just was picking out stuff.
The Taking the Sounds.
Let me see this thing.
Have you ever gone to like whenitdrops.com, Shane? I think that's the URL.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's The Sounds. The Taking Go. No, Duff McKagan's album is called The Taking.
Oh.
The Sounds, Something to Die For.
I like.
What's it called, Jared?
I think it's whenitdrops.com.
Oh, I need that.
Or when does it drops? No, it is. It's whenitdrops.com.
I'm going there right now while Adam's working.
And you can update me on actual good albums that come out on the 19th.
How dare you?
Movies. I was going to use Scream 4 for a news story, but I decided I don't care enough about Kevin Williamson to do so. But so Scream 4 comes out on April 15th. April 15th, I'm going to see Chuck Klosterman at the Fitzgerald Theater. So that's exciting for me. Rio comes out, the Angry Birds tie-in movie mm-hmm. game.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Duran Duran reissue.
Yes. The Conspirator, which is a generic enough title. And Atlas Shrugged Part 1. Who's making this? Idiots, I assume.
Yes.
I don't know.
Okay.
This is a film?
I guess.
I've not heard anything
Yeah, I think
it.
it's aimed towards
conservatives.
Yeah, yes.
Right. The government is terrible and... Ayn Rand. Thanks.
Government is terrible unless we want them to stop abortions.
Let's see.
Thank you.
April 22nd.
The PSA is brought to you by me.
Water for Elephants. I don't know. African Cats. I don't know. Oh, but Madea's Big Happy Family comes
Water
out
for Elephants is based off of some really popular novel. I believe I actually gave that to my sister for Christmas.
A girly
novel?
It was
on her list. I have no idea. Who's in it? Robert Pattinson's in it, isn't he? Mr.
Yes, he is. Yes. Well, along with Kate Blanchett.
I didn't realize that he had played, what's his name, in the fourth Harry Potter film.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
That kid, the guy.
Yeah.
The hunky one.
Yeah. The guy who died.
Good.
Anyway.
What's your review of this website? Quick 1 second review.
It's okay. The problem is that it doesn't tell you give you more context of the album. So it says like on the 18th for music, we've got a Gorillaz album coming out, which okay. I don't know what that is. We've got a Queens of the Stone Age album coming out. I mean, those could be
EPs.
Yeah. They just don't give you the context.
And you can't click on them?
You click on it. And then it takes you to Amazon.
Yeah.
Here we go. Away we go.
Probably got their affiliate code in there. They're going to make a little cash.
So it's Queens of the Stone Age, the album remastered, their first album.
Ah. See, I feel like so many new albums come out every Tuesday that there needs to be a site that can filter them to be like full albums only and stuff like that.
I think we have got a new business venture. That's what we're going to do.
All right. Let's see. DVD, April 12th, Duplex. I don't know. Pokemon Heroes.
I don't know.
Car 54, Where Are You? Season 1.
Mm-hmm.
April 15th, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 1. Mandy and I just watched that.
And?
For some reason, I like it more than Half-Blood Prince, which was the sixth book movie. But nothing really happens in the first half of the last book. And then there's a lot of action in the second half of the last book. So
I see.
I get why they split it up. Whatever. April 19th, Captain Planet Season 1.
Are you into that?
I'm into all sorts of things.
He loves Captain Planet.
King's Speech
mm-hmm.
and Bambi. What? It's their Disney's. It's only available
I've also
now.
Got The Rabbit Hole and The Way Back as well.
Sweet. I love your adding into these things.
Yeah, we're working together. It's a team. It's a team thing. Jeff.
Video games.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell 3D for the Nintendo 3DS.
Yes, our first 3DS.
You guys played any 3DS?
I have tried it.
No.
What do you think?
It's neat.
It does 3D?
Yeah, it absolutely does. But
why?
It's more to me. It's more of a gimmick. Right. I played the Pilot Wings demo at a local.
How long did you play for?
I played the entire demo.
And how long is that? Like
10 minutes. Maybe.
Okay. And no eye strain?
Not that I could tell.
Okay.
But I've got super eyes, Jared.
Oh. Super eyes?
Mm-hmm.
You're like Jordy LaForge.
I am.
Michael Jackson, The Experience. I thought this came out because I had read that it
came out for the Wii. It has not come out for the
It
PS3.
Sold 3 million copies worldwide.
It's doing great.
And
people love to fake dance.
So, okay, Rio, based on the movie mm-hmm. Rio, is coming out.
Based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Right.
Precious, I'm going to beat you.
Does it have the same gameplay as Angry Birds?
No, it's like it's...
It's a platformer.
Probably a platformer or something like that.
All right.
Maybe a mini game collection.
But the big news is...
There's big news?
April 7th, video game news.
Oh.
There are two big games coming out.
I thought the big news was Minecraft being released officially November 11th.
That's in November.
Well, that's huge.
A lot of things.
We got a long way to go.
We got to ramp up our coverage, right?
It doesn't even matter. May 12th, the world begins to end, and then October 12th, it's over. So what? You're not even going to get to get your game.
I thought that was next year.
That's 2012.
No, that's this year.
Oh.
The picture I posted on Facebook?
Yeah.
That's May 12th, 2011.
Oh.
That's the end, huh?
Oh. Well, that's the beginning of the end, and then it's 6 months
going to happen
Why
that
am
day?
I saving all my money, then?
I'm not.
All right.
What's going to be the signal of that? You know, like they cancel Modern Family?
People
then...
will begin to...
Oh, my God, what's going on here? This isn't right.
People will start to ascend. We'll all be left behind, and we'll all live in a much better place for it.
Oh, okay. Well, I can get behind that.
I'm not sure. Yeah, that could be okay.
So two big games coming out April 17th that we can play until the apocalypse. Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
It's back. And it's a reboot, so it's just called Mortal Kombat.
That's what I see here right on the box art.
It is the Mortal Kombat. And Portal 2. So if you like kind of puzzly first-person shooter games.
I could never figure out the first one.
I thought Portal was overrated.
Well, I mean, it was just an add-on to a game. Now it's a full-fledged game.
Yeah. Well, I'll be the judge of that.
I mean, I guess I can appreciate the unique gameplay mechanism, but I couldn't figure it out. I sucked at it. Sorry.
You're old, Jared, dumb.
I'm not a great gamer.
He's not a great gamer. Unlike Adam, who plays through games he hates twice.
Well, I haven't finished. I just started the second playthrough. I probably won't, actually.
Did you buy Rock Band 3 for $20, though?
But I don't have any instruments, so it would have been way more for me.
Just, very tough.
You can't just yell at the console.
Red, work. Green, yellow, red, double green.
Double green. You can play with the controller. I don't think that would be very fun, though.
No, it's sort of not good.
Yeah.
That's it. Conduit 2 for the Wii and SOCOM 4 for PS3.
So a lot of things for you to buy, Jared.
All right.
A lot of things for
you to buy.
Let's wrap this up. Let's wrap up coming soon.
God damn it. And here's the thing is I have this muted because of the fucking buzz. I hate this shit. Anyway.
The buzz.
Turn it out with some bass.
Under the scope.
I almost bought something with our affiliate code this week.
Oh, son of a bitch. Jared.
But then you didn't buy it at all?
Yeah.
And that's it for comments, Shane. I don't have any.
You have no comments.
There was just some run-of-the-mill stuff on the blog. I mean, it was good, nice comments, but nothing that I felt like was going to spark any conversation. So I elected not to include any. So if you want to read the comments from the last show, you can go to the website.
Tell everybody how they can comment.
You can write us an email, comments@thescopeshow.com. You can dial that voicemail line at 612-21-SCOPE, 612-217-2673. I can almost guarantee you're going to get played on the show if you call in.
It's a guarantee.
There's not a big waiting.
No.
Adam wants to do some freestyle...
bongoing?
Drums. It's not really bongos. It's a doombek, so...
Okay, doombek that
so
bit.
So you do some Arabic drumming?
Give Jared some ambiance.
Oh, man, that feels good.
Wow.
Am I holding it right?
No.
He was actually just hitting his schlong right there.
It's very voluminous.
Voluminous. Like he's wrapping up his strap with his cable. This is troublesome.
Right. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter.
You can get
that information at the website.
So Jared, why is it raining down here all of a sudden?
he somehow tapped into the spirit of the earth, and it's calling forth waters to replenish and cleanse.
And we're all pregnant now, too.
Oh, wow, shit. He's impregnated.
He's created male pregnancy through the power of his drumming hand.
You need to wrap this up, because God knows what he's going to do to us.
Hey, you know, we haven't had any iTunes and reviews in a while.
We keep asking, but no one bothers.
So if you wouldn't mind popping over to iTunes and giving us a review, that would be great. Also, I'd like to point out that a sponsorship of at least $5 or more, you can go to our website and click on the donate link there. We'll get you a special shout out at the beginning of the show.
And if you're a male through Adam's drumming, he will guarantee an extra 2 inches of girth.
Wow.
If you donate.
And one thing that continues to do decently for us is the Amazon affiliate code. So if you're buying anything through Amazon, click on the link on our website to start your shopping experience, and that will help us out.
This show don't come cheap.
Especially if you're buying MP3s, because the kickback rate on that is pretty high.
Super high.
That's all I got, Shane.
Very nice, Jared.
Oh, wait, I should probably make a plug. I'm not sure, please. We'll probably get another show in before then, but I'm going to mention it anyway. Half of my band, Possible Oscar, will be appearing at PenguinCon in Troy, Michigan. That is the weekend of April 29th through May 1st. We're performing on Saturday, and we'll be doing an acoustic show. It will be myself and Nathan.
Are you driving there?
We are driving there,
Have you figured out the gas money issue?
I'm sure the cash will be used to pay for it. I don't know.
Are they supplying you a hotel room, or do you have to buy that
yourself?
There is.
There are a couple of community rooms that we will be participating.
That sounds sexy, doesn't it? Community.
It's like a hostel.
It's. I call it a big something.
They're not going to kidnap you and torture you or something, are they?
There are several of us sharing two rooms, so it'll be cozy, but whatever. It'll be cheap.
Clothes
and so our expense will be gas and then food and stuff on the way. So
fun. Well, you should stop at Chick-fil-A. On the way.
They don't have...
find one.
Nathan's vegetarian, and they probably don't have one.
Buy him a bun. A slice of... maybe a lettuce. Lettuce.
Lettuce. Lechuga in Espanol.
Thank you.
That is my gracias. Plug. Also, you can buy my albums.
Buy his albums. Adam, you're...
they're all on iTunes now.
Adam working hard on his album. He'll have competition to Po-O. That's possible Oscar, the half of them. That's what you should call yourself. Po-O.
Okay, sure. We'll take that under advisement, I guess. Yeah.
Put it through on the board.
I got to clear everything through my manager.
Fair enough. So, episode 106 of The Scope, it's over. It's been long.
No plugs? You're not making any appearances?
No appearances for me. No appearances for me. No.
I'll be at the Fitzgerald Theater next Friday. If anyone wants to hang out.
What are you doing there?
Seeing Chuck Klosterman.
All right. Who said that?
At Wits.
That's Wits. All.
It's good stuff. Yeah. And fading. So, here we go. Let's wrap this up. Jared 106 in the can. 107 coming at you soon. Thanks for listening. See you in a couple weeks. Later.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com. Or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying ahoy hoy. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.